As mentioned yesterday, there's like 51 mitzvahs in Parshas Kedeshim. It's like a very busy parsha. So we're going to focus on just one slender little slice of the parsha, a couple of verses that speak about a mitzvah, which as you will see is actually still applicable in our day and age. Chapter 19, verse 23. It's the middle of the fifth reading for these conjoined parshas. In the year when Parshas Kedeshim would read alone, this would herald Shlishi. V'chi saveyu el ha'aretz. The Torah now says, when you will come to the land, unetatem kol eitz ma'achol, and you'll plant fruit-bearing trees. That's how the Torah talks about the fruit-bearing tree. It says eitz ma'achol. Eitz means wood or tree, a tree that is edible. Refers, of course, not to the tree, but rather to the fruit. Ve'araltam arlasai, you're going to seal off its initial fruits, espiriyai, its initial harvest, shalosh shanim, for 3 years, yilachem arelim, it'll be for you as arelim, and we're soon going to see what this might mean, loy ye ochel, it shall not be eaten. So there's two things, it'll be for you arelim, and it shall not be eaten. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi Chaf Gimel va'araltem arlosai. Here we have the same Hebrew word which is used to describe your behavior, a verb, and a noun of the tree, arlosai of the tree. So Rashi says like this: va'atamtem atimosai. In other words, you will seal off that which is sealed, that which is or should be sealed. Meaning atum v'nistam melahones v'menu. It is as if sealed off from you. You would call this in English out of circulation, out of bounds, not part of our life, sealed off, gone, not something that we would entertain or bring into our everyday experiences. So this is what the Torah says. You come to Israel, a fruit-bearing tree is planted. For the first 3 years, everything it produces is off-limits. Shalosh shanim yulachem arelim. Here we have a third time the word orel. Incidentally, the word orel is used also for a human foreskin. So the Rashi says, "May emasai meinelai." From when do you count these 3 years? And he answers the rhetorical question, "Mishas nitiyase," from the time that it is planted in the ground. Yochel, you would think that im hitznioi. La'achar shalosh shanim, that if you took the fruit, you squirreled it away, you put it in storage. So then, after 3 years, yehi muter, that it would then be permissible. Meaning, you might think that it's only prohibited to eat during the first 3 years of the tree's existence. Talmud leimar, so the pasuk comes and teaches me, yihyeh, it shall be. Yihyeh lachem arelim, it shall be for you arelim, which means, in its state of sealed offness, in its state of removal, in its state of off-limitness, it shall remain. So shalosh shanim yilachem, for 3 years it remains, off-limits. You don't touch it. It's not part of your life. For 3 years, the fruit of the tree, the harvest that's taken from the tree, is something that for us remains distant. And then, uvashana harevias. And in the 4th year, kol Hashem, then all of its fruits will be a sacred song for Hashem. What does this mean? So let's take a look in Rashi, and then we're going to examine this from the perspective of the other commentaries. Rashi says, kol all of these fruits shall be sacred or holy. So the Torah doesn't tell you what kind of holiness. Holy is a general terminology. What does holy mean? It means different. It means set aside. It means designated. That's really what the word means. Organically speaking, the word means this is kodesh, means it's designated, set aside. It's different. It's not like everything else. It's taken out of circulation. So, well, what kind of holiness? Meaning what kind of taken out of circulation? If it's taken entirely out of circulation, Well, that's the first 3 years of the tree's fruit, and we don't speak about the word kedusha. We don't say holy. We say otum. We say it's orel. We say it's off limits entirely. And here we say that the fruits of the fourth year are holy. So Rashi explains, it's the kind of holiness that you're already familiar with insofar as things that grow from the ground are concerned, kemaiser sheni, like the second tithe. We have learned already that the second tithe is brought to the holy city of Yerushalayim, and there in the holy city of Yerushalayim, the second tithe is consumed under certain restrictions. Shekosov bay, how do we know that that's called holy? Maybe that's just a mitzvah. How do we know it's called holy? He said, well, you know it's called holy because it is written with regard to the Maisa Sheni, V'chol Maiset Ha'aretz, all of the tithe of the land, etc. V'goyimer, Kodesh LaHashem. That's going to be sacred unto God. And since this is actually going to be later on in a few parshiyos, not in the 27th chapter, since the Torah emphasizes the idea that it will be holy, and we know that Maisa Sheni has specific restrictions and rules and governing regulations, that it has to be used and eaten under the guise and under the aegis of the Torah's specific instructions, and the Torah calls it Kodesh, the Torah calls it holy. So what do I understand from this? I understand that holiness for us means something that has a specific order to follow. It's different than everything else. It has to be treated holy. For example, what's the holiest day of the week? Shabbos. And what do we do about Shabbos Kodesh? We do everything different. Did you ever notice that on Shabbos Kodesh, we actually do everything differently? All of the things that are usually part of the common human experience, on Shabbos Kodesh, we do differently. What are the things that people do? What are part of people's life? Let's say it starts with your schedule. When you wake up in the morning. On Shabbos, you have a different schedule. You're actually supposed to sleep in a little bit on Shabbos.
Still simuldani.
Huh? Yeah, you still simuldani, but at a different time. So maybe during the weekday, you're getting up at 5:30 a.m. On Shabbos, you're getting up at 6:30 or at 7 a.m. You sleep in a little bit. And everything's different. We're not doing the same activities. We're not bathing and doing personal grooming in the same way. We're not cooking in the same way. We're not preparing things in the same way. Everything is different. We wear different clothing. We use different language. Never wake up in the morning and say, good Monday? Said no one ever. Good Tuesday? Happy Friday? Here we say, good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom. We use, our greetings are different. On Shabbos, a person is supposed to elevate his speech. He's supposed to speak about different things. Because Kedusha means it's handled separately. It's different. It's set aside. So here we say Maisa Sheni is considered to be Kodesh, Kodesh LaHashem, holy unto God. And therefore we understand Ma Maisa Sheni, Eini Nechal Chutz L'Chaymis Yerushalayim, just as Maisa Sheni has to be eaten within the precincts of Yerushalayim, which is considered Ir HaKodesh, a holy city. So therefore the food which is holy has to be eaten in a place that's holy, by people who are holy, namely us, Bnei Yisrael. So Maaser Sheni can't be eaten Ella B'Pidyon. If you want to eat it outside Yerushalayim, you have to exchange. You have to take the holiness off the fruit and put it onto cash, and then once you liquidated it, then you have to take it and spend that cash and on new food in Yerushalayim. The Dover Zeh, and this idea that fruit would be brought, we say that Av Zeh Kein, here also, the same thing happens. And this idea that the fruit would be brought, or the fruit's exchanged, because if I'm living somewhere far away from Yerushalayim, by the time I get to Jerusalem, the fruit's going to be rotten. What will be the point? Who wants to eat rotten fruit? It's not going to be enjoyable. It's not going to be nice. It's not going to be holy. So what I do is I would exchange that for money, just like Maaser Sheni. And this thing is called Hilulim LaHashem. What does it mean, Hilulim? Shenoisa Isham, you bring it there, L'Shabeach U'Lahalel L'Shamayim, to praise and to thank Hashem, in other words, to thank heaven. So this is what happens with the fruit. For 3 years, it's totally off limits. On the third year, it's treated in a unique and a special way, like that which is holy. In fact, it's called holy. And you sing Hashem's praises, which is a holy thing to do. And then finally, Yuvashana HaChamishis, when the fifth year comes along, now you can eat as you please. And the Torah adds six interesting words here. So that you might add in your harvest, I am the Lord your God. What does that have to do with anything? What is lahisiv lachem tvuasa? You have to do with the mitzvah. Why should I do the mitzvah? Because Hashem said I should do the mitzvah. Does Hashem say, don't eat blood so that you have more meat? No, doesn't say that. And it's not necessarily true. But like here, why would that add in the harvest? For the first 3 years, I didn't enjoy the harvest. On the fourth year, I brought the harvest to the land, to the city of Yerushalayim. And then on the fifth year, the harvest will be the harvest. Like how does that change the harvest on the fifth year based on what I did with the produce of the fourth year? Or the fact that I didn't use it at all in the first 3 years? So we're told that this is a promise from Hashem. And how does that suddenly enter? Why is it that this mitzvah is getting a special promise of prosperity? So Rashi says, HaMitzvah HaZeis, this mitzvah, Kishetishmeru, when you keep this mitzvah, V'tiyeh, Tiyeh LaHaysef Lachem Tevoaseh, then it will serve to add in its your produce, in your harvest. In other words, Shebischoro Ani Mevorech Lachem Peres HaNetiyeh, Hashem says, in reward for your behavior, in reward for what you're doing, I promise to bless your future harvest, that it will be abundance. You'll have more, much more than you would have imagined or expected. Now, of course, the question may well be asked, suddenly with this mitzvah, we're getting promises of rewards. Why this mitzvah? Why not any other mitzvah? There are mitzvahs you can count virtually on one hand that the Torah actually promises a reward for it. Like, for example, honoring your father and mother, to promise you a reward for long life. The Torah promises you a reward for sending away the mother bird. There's not too many mitzvahs. And incidentally, there are questions asked by each of those. Why are you getting a reward suddenly? That's 613 mitzvahs. We don't get rewards. All of a sudden, this mitzvah, we're getting promises for rewards. Hashem's Kerala says, do this mitzvah. And then, and you'll be rich. You'll have a big harvest. Ma pitom. Why all of a sudden? So, Hayy Rabbi Akiva, Ayyim Rabbi Akiva used to say, you know why? It's actually quite simple. Dibra Torah k'neged Yetzirah. There are times when the Torah has to speak not to the godly soul, not to the Eitz Tov, not to the inclination that we organically have to do what's right and good, not to the drive and desire we have to live the way Hashem wants us to live, but there's another side of us. Yetzirah, what does he want? That's the selfish, sniveling side of us that's arrogant and angry and selfish and only cares about itself, its own self-aggrandizement, its own sensual libido, its own pleasure, its own success, its own wealth, its own plenty, its own abundance. That's all it cares about. And then you get hit with a mitzvah, like you just planted a tree. You worked so hard. 3 years, don't touch it. Don't look at it. It's nothing to do with you. 3 years, my tree. It's my property. I worked off limits. Finally, after 3 years of watching all the fruit just fall off and rot, and I can't do anything with it. Fourth year comes along, and I said, now I'm going to enjoy myself. So no, stop, not so fast. No. Pack up all the fruit, you go to Yerushalayim, and sing Hashem's praises. The farmer's pulling his hair out by now. He says, for heaven's sake, do I ever get anything? Hashem says, relax, it'll be good for you too. Sometimes the Nefesh HaBahamas needs a little. I once heard a story, there was a chassid. He would sit down Shabbos morning to learn. And you know, his Yetzirah would start to bother him, and the chalenti was already smelling, and he's going to learn Chassidus for 3 hours, and then he's going to daven for 5 hours. And he used to say, I forget there was a Russian name for a cookie. He said to himself, he says, Matl, you want to have a cookie? Okay, fine, here's a cookie. He says, here's a cookie. He said, well, Vils Nacha, have another brownie. He said, but now leave me alone, let me know Chassidus. That's it. He says, no. Gave you what you wanted, gave you a cookie, you had your cup of cake, enough, leave me alone now. So the Yetzirah comes along and says, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're a farmer. You're in farming to make holiness? In farming to make a living. You want to make holiness, sit in shul the whole day. You're out in the farm to make a living. You work all this. You should enjoy. The Yetzirah hacks you, as they say. So the Torah helps you. Once everyone, the Torah knows at times with certain, the Yetzirah, like, it's too intense here. Yetzirah is not going to let you live this one down. The Kiva said, Hashem, who created us and knows us, and he knows our foibles and our weaknesses, he comes along and he says, a person shouldn't say, Shalayim at Adam, Hare Arba Shonim, it's 4 years, and Mitzdar, it's 4 years, I'm in pain, watching my hard work go nowhere. And then I have to go and run to Yerushalayim. And finally, can I eat? Lefichach, therefore we say, Lehaysif Lechem Tfuase, Hashem promises that this will be an addition. You will gain in the end from this, don't feel bad, Don't let it eat up your kishkas. Don't let it. Don't be distraught over it. In the end, it works out well. Yes.
Can the poor take that in the first couple
Can the
years?
Poor take it? No. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So the Ibn Ezra maintains that the first 3 years, the fruit actually is unhealthy. We have no scientific proof of this, but that's what Ibn Ezra says. He says it's aimed by tayelus. It has no real value. It's not virtuous for us in a material way. And he says it's mazik. It will be damaging. Eating that fruit is damaging. It takes time for the tree to kind of shake out its toxins and get itself into order. So it's not a good thing for you. You think it's good, but it's not. The Ramban says that in the first 3 years, there's stunted growth. Very little grows in the first 3 years. And he says even what is produced by the tree isn't really very valuable. And he says that's why the first 3 years should be off limits. So why is the fourth year something you have to run to Hashem? He says no. Really, the first year you have to run to Hashem. Really, the first year should be Kedesh Elulim. Well, if the first year should be Kedesh Elulim, why am I going to the fourth year? He says because the first 3 years is nothing to speak of. That you're going to bring to Hashem? The stunted growth? The original, the initial growth, which is not impressive? He says, therefore, you have to let the first few harvests go to waste. Then you have finally a good harvest. That harvest you bring to Hashem, and then you can begin to enjoy. They tell a story. This lady walks to the delicatessen, and she says to the guy, can I buy some salami, a pound of salami? He says, sure, no problem. She says, okay. He looks in the window, says, choose. I like that roll. Cut. He cuts salami, 3, 4, 5 slices. Enough? She says, cut. He's cutting 10 slices, 15. Cut. Keep cutting. All right, he's got 3 pounds of salami over there. He says, you want 3 pounds of salami? She says, now, cut me 6 pieces right from the middle. Ah, you do that too. Says, you're going to bring to Hashem. What do you bring to Hashem? I'm glad we give this to Hashem, because I wouldn't eat this. I mean, like, we'll bring this to Yerushalayim. Let's get this. I want the good stuff. I want the really fine fruit. And Ramban said, well, it's exactly the point. The first 3 years, that's it. Goodbye. He said, well, okay, let me eat that. No. First thing has to go to Hashem. But he says, the first thing can't go to Hashem until we get to the fourth year. The fourth year, now we can go to Hashem. The Kliyakar says, this is all a Zikar and Lamaisa Vereshis. This all takes us back to the beginning of creation. The first 3 days, how much vegetation was there in creation? None. It was let there be light, heaven and earth, everything was unformed. And then finally, Hashem puts vegetation, but on the third day of vegetation, it was all in the ground. It was all encoded inside. It didn't appear on the outside. It was only after that it started to grow. And so, that's why, when it comes to the fourth day, which represents the fourth year, represented the fourth day, vegetation appeared the first time. That goes to Hashem. And it was only on the fifth day that somebody could eat the fruit, because that's when animals, birds were created, fish were created. So with somebody to eat, that's when you could start eating. So the Kliyakar says it's all in the image of creation and how that was. And Kodesh Hilula means that the Ibn Ezra says, you praise Hashem, the Kohen eats. That's Kodesh Hilula. For you, it's just about singing. The Kohen is eating this, not you. So that's the story of the first 3 years of fruit. Incidentally, this applies outside of Eretz Yisrael as well, even though the Torah says Kisavayu. And so ask me the question. We go to the store. You go to Nofros. How do you buy fruit? The answer is kol deparash merubu parash. Whatever came from the majority. The majority of fruit being harvested is not the first 3 years. And since it's not the first 3 years, and not the fourth year, there's no issue. However, if you were to know, you come to one of these roadside stands where they're selling fruit, and you see the guy say, oh, you got to have some of these oranges. This is the first crop, he says. First crop. The oranges finally grew. The apples finally grew. I want you to have the first one. Then you have to know that you're not allowed to buy. And in Eretz Yisrael, even if you don't know, you have to know before you buy. That's why the land of Israel is the only country in the world where there's kosher supervision on the fruit and vegetables. This is one of the reasons. There are multiple reasons. One of the reasons. All right. So we're going to finish off with a delightful little lesson of how our schedule, our daily schedule, actually is in the image of the fruit's phases, the phases of fruit. We basically have come across with 3 phases in the fruit. Phase 1, off limits, totally separated. Phase 2, Kodesh Hilulim, it's sacred. So it's not off limit, but it has to be utilized for a sacred purpose. And then phase 3, now it's back to everyday life. Page Resh Pei Zayin, Siman Tes Zayin. A lot of Zayins. Reish Pei Zayin. It'll be like 287. So the Rebbe says, Shalesha Shlavim Elu, these three phases, Shalesh Shnois Arlo, the 3 years of off-limits, Arlo. Horevi'i, the 4th year, which is Kodesh Elulim, sacred. And then finally, the Shana Achamish is the 5th year. To'amim l'shalesha shlovim b'avedas Hashem. This is a perfect parallel with 3 phases in our service of God, b'chol yom v'yom, each and every single day. In other words, each and every day, we experience the 3 phases of fruit. We experience the tree's schedule, so to speak. How so? So the Rebbe says, let's start with the first. Tchilas ha'avayda, the beginning of our avaydas Hashem. How do we start our day? Tefillah. Why are we studying Torah now? So that our tefillah is meaningful. So that we didn't just fall out of bed and fall into shul to daven. But instead, you first study Torah. You get your wits about you. Hopefully we study something a little mystical and inspirational too. And then you have something to fill your mind with during the course of davening. So the davening becomes more meaningful. So the Torah study we do prior to davening is done as a preparation for davening. It's done to prime us for davening. It's like when somebody's going to paint the house and they're painting the walls white first. You say, what are you doing? What I'm painting. I said, but didn't you want to paint the house yellow? He said, yeah, I did. But in order to paint the house yellow, I first have to paint it white. So actually, it's part of painting the house yellow. But in order to paint it yellow, you first need a primer. So what are we doing here now? We're davening. We're davening. Looks to me like we're learning. Well, we're learning as a preparation for davening. So that a davening will be more meaningful. So the Tchilas HaAveda is really davening. It's about davening. Go to the mikveh, it's about davening. You give tzedakah, it's about davening. All these things prepare us for davening. Now, ikra, the primary thing of davening is the tefillah of Shmoy Nesrei. Because actually, most of davening is also getting ready for davening. When is real davening? When is real tefillah? When is actual tefillah? If you go by the cut and dry of the Shulchan Aruch, at what point in the davening am I actually doing the mitzvah of tefillah? Amida. Very good, the Shmoy Nesrei. That's correct. So everything else is leading up to the Shmoneh Esrei. The Pesukah de Zimmer, the verses of praises, the Korbanos we say before, everything is just preparing ourselves so that the Amidah is done right. Now, when we dive in the Amidah, Shabbat nimtza ha'adam b'matzav shel hisbatlus mochletes klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you dive in the Amidah, dive in Shmoneh Esrei, how should you be? The answer is still. Absolutely focused. Totally focused. Still focused only. In fact, in the words of the Gemara says, "Ka'avde kamemora," like a servant before his or her master. And you know how you stand before a master? We don't really know because we never stood before a master. But stand before a master, you stand at attention. You're terrified. You don't move a hair. When people stood in front of a real king, they had an inkling, an idea of what it meant to stand before Hashem, what it meant, Davash Menesse. The story is told that when the Tsar was killed, it was a Russia, a wicked, horrible person, a twisted anti-Semite. So there was a famous chassid in David Kivman. He's called David Haradaker. David Haradaker heard the news, he started crying. So they said, David, he was a hater of Israel. He was a horrible guy. Why are you crying? He said, I couldn't care less about the Tsar. He said, I'm crying because a mashal of chassidus is lost. He says, you haven't taught all this time, you have a mashal. What's a metaphor? The metaphor, standing before a king. He said, the metaphor is gone. There's no more kings. A president. Half the country hates him, half the country loves him. It's not respect. So when we stand before Hashem by davening, when a person davens Shmoneh Esrei, he should be totally disconnected from what's going on around him. That doesn't mean to fake it, make believe that you're some kind of holy person, doesn't know going on around you, but that's the external behavior. Yeah, that's how we behave, as if we are totally oblivious. They tell a story of this guy who used to daven a whole show by Shmoneh Esrei, would shake away and make with his eyes and this and that. And he said, when I daven Shmoneh Esrei, I don't feel anything. He said, you don't feel anything? Nothing. He said, nothing. I'm in another world. So one joker decided he's going to check him out. He stuck a pin right in his tuchus. He's davening. He keeps shaking his wick with his eyes and his hands and shaking. He sticks a second pin. The shaking. The third pin. Finally, the guy says, oh, enough already. He says, I thought you don't feel anything. He says, I didn't feel it the first 2 times. So that's like, it's like Dugma Shalosh Shanim Harla. You're totally cut off, it's off limits. The whole world's off limits. Now, Vidavish Shmoneh Esrei, they say the whole world is forgotten. There's nothing. The Peiros Asurim Bachila. Eating? No, there's no self. There's nothing, don't do anything for yourself. Shemoneh Esrei is a totally focused experience. Then, La'achar HaTefillah, what should you do? Yetzi Adumim Beis HaKnesses, Lo Beis HaMedesh. Ideally, after davening, a person should take time to study Torah a little bit. You start to relate, to connect to the world around you. He's learning about, what's he learning about? He's learning Torah. So what's he connected to? He's connected to the world, but the world as it appears through the prism of Torah. This is in parallel to the fourth year. In the fourth year, you're eating the fruit, but how do you eat it? Bekedusha uvetara, in purity and in holiness. Kodesh Elul, holy praise. After phase one and phase two, then comes phase three. Then you can evolve, engage yourself with the world. In the language of the Gemara, what we call Nyani Harashus, this is an area of life where it's not legislated. And that's in the image of the fifth year, Shabbat, in the fifth year, HaPeres, Hein Chulin. Now, it's every day. And really and truly, the parsha, which is called Kedoshim, is very much not about the behavior of leaving the world, which is what Achrei Mais is about in Yom Kippur, but really the idea of holiness is to be found where? In everyday life. But doing everyday things in an extraordinary and a holy fashion. And we do that, hopefully we bring close the time which Mashiach will finally hallow, sanctify, and elevate all of existence. Amen.